Amen. But any question? Yes, quickly.
Praise the Lord. So I want to talk more on diseases.
The what?
Disease. Disease. As a demon, yes, that torments the children
of God. They are demons and they manufacture it and throw it on people. Any sickness that has no cure. There are congenital problems. Sicknesses. Of course, who is the author of sickness? It's Satan that spread these things all around. What is HIV? It's a demon manufactured to torment human beings. What is COVID-19? It's a demon manufactured by a devil, a tormentor, to torment human beings. What are all these funny sicknesses that have no cure? They are all demons. Therefore, speak to it and rain fire on that thing and it will pack its load and go. But remember, you are destroying the works, which is that sickness. But the devil that threw it is still alive. Okay. Yes?
Yes. I am a bit confused with the word. Jesus Christ said, love your enemy. Another scripture says, rebuke the devil. Then another says, who is
in the context of that usage, what he's saying is, don't retaliate. Catch it like that. Even if the person is in need and you're in position to help, help the person. Don't retaliate. That is the context of that usage there.
Who is the enemy? Jesus is saying we should love. Is it Satan, the devil?
The agent that he is using. The reason is because he wants to fight the battle for you. If you fight, then he will not be able to fight again because the principle is vengeance belongs to me. He says so. So that action of you being good to him is positioning God to deal with him well. It's a principle for spiritual warfare. Next person.
Sir, I would like you to throw more light about the sharing of the dreams because there are sometimes...
showing what?
There's on sharing of dreams because when...
Sharing of dreams.
We should not really say, like if you have a good dream, you should not really say it out.
Listen, not only dream. Anything you will tell anybody at all, I've said it several times in this ministry, even in the secular world, in the military, those of us who were in the military, we were told... The guiding principle for information, it is guided by the need to know. This thing I'm telling you, do you need to know it? If you don't need to know it, why am I telling you? So in the course of that, you say it to the wrong person. Have you not seen some close friends to you? That if you do something and you did not tell them, they found out later, they get angry with you. Eh? Why are you angry with me? Because I didn't tell you that my boyfriend was taking me out to dinner. You didn't tell me. You people went for dinner. You didn't even tell me. Which kind of person? You are not hiding things from me. You are not hiding things from me. Fear that person. Fear him. Fear. He may be a demon around you. And you are busy saying everything, they go behind and stage all manner of things and break the relationship. You will know that you are the cause. Do you need to know? Do I have to tell you that I am going out with my boyfriend, going out to eat somewhere? You will only tell your mother, your father, people you are living with so that they will know where you are in case you don't come back. But you don't put and say, hey, Emeka, don't call me. Hey, Gabriel said, we they go. And all those, don't do that. Praise the Lord. Yes?
God bless you, sir.
Yes?
My question is from Ezekiel chapter 28, where we read about devil who has been in the garden of the Lord in the Eden. So, according to verse 15, it was stated that... he was found perfect from the day he was created until iniquity was found in him.
Yes.
So my question is, where did this iniquity came from?
It came from the knowledge of his position that got into his head that produced pride. That's all.
Okay, sir. Another question, sir.
Yes.
You said something about William Marion Brahams saying that devil
depression
cannot know how what we are thinking. He can't know our mind until yes. we speak out.
Yes.
How the devil knew that somebody is thinking of either committing suicide?
It is what is appearing and manufacturing and all the hallucination. He keeps attacking the person with all manner of strange things until the person has no peace. So the next thing is it will drive the person to say, there's no need for me to be alive. Let me just die rather than what I am facing. That is how he does it.
Thank you, sir.
Amaka is on the line. On the line, let's hear you, Amaka from Ogun State.
All right, sir. In our group, there was somebody said something, said that it is wrong for you to plead the blood of Jesus, you know, in your car. Because I had the pastor say something, I said, whatever you're saying, anything you want to do or do by this item, or you are going on a journey, you can plead the blood of the boss. Is it right to use the blood of Jesus to plead around your property, around your life, around your house, your car, your bus, everything around you?
Anytime.
It was like the blood just for the purchase of our soul. You're not supposed to use it on your property, that is wrong. Is it right that for us to use the blood to plead on everything that we have?
God bless
our
you.
Our job, our business, our car, our property.
God bless you, Sister Maka. Sister Maka, thank you very much. When you say, I plead the blood of Jesus, what you are actually doing is you are reminding that situation of the covenant that you belong. That because of that covenant, this thing is covered. Because of that covenant, this thing shall stand. Because of that covenant, my car will not go down. Because of that covenant, this thing will not happen. This thing will happen. That is the meaning of I plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing more. They are making reference to what happened on the cross on Calvary. God bless you. Yes.
Yes, thank you very much, Pastor. God bless you, sir.
Yes.
For the opportunity. Now, the question is, the word devil and the word demon, are they being used interchangeably or they are different?
No, you didn't hear me. I said devil means tormentor. I said demon is what the tormentor uses to attack you.
This is because when I look through the Bible, what I see, particularly in King James Version, is more of devils, devils, devils. You hardly see the word demon. And even when Jesus was casting out or healing all manner of sicknesses and diseases, the Bible kept on repeating that he was casting out devils. And there was no mention of demon.
Devil is a tormentor. So anytime you see the usage in the Bible, take it within the context that is being used. And you will truly say, as you are saying, that they use that word interchangeably. But if you look at it, demons can be destroyed, but devil can never be destroyed.
Okay, finally, the Bible mentioned that no weapon fashioned against us shall prosper.
Yes.
Now that weapon mentioned there, I'm looking at it from another angle.
The weapon there are the demons that are created by devils to destroy our life. They will not prosper because we are always praying without ceasing.
Amen. Thank you very much.
God bless you. Who again? Yes.
Good afternoon, sir. Uh-huh. I want to ask, if the Bible says the blessings of the Lord make it rich and added no sorrow, why is it that children of God often claim that they prayed and the Lord blesses them, and when they come out to testify, things will start going bad because they came out to testify?
Yes, because you have spoken and Satan has heard it. After you have given your testimony, go back and intensify your prayer. No demon will use my testimony against me. Anyone that wants my testimony not to be permanent, fall down and die. Die by fire. Die by fire. Go ahead. Yes.
Shalom, sir. Sir, you made us to understand that Satan has been existing even before the creation of man.
It's Bible that says so.
Okay. I want you to throw more light on Revelation 12, verse 12, that said, woe into the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. So who are the inhabitants of the earth?
Now, I want you to note something. Listen very well. That's why when I'll be preaching the test and the fall of Satan, there are some things I will bring out. That man is only 6,000 years old on earth. But this earth has been existing for millions of years. And he told Adam, multiply and replenish. It means something was living. For the earth, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form. Something happened that rendered it formless. And we are having fossils. Through carbon dating, we are able to know that science lets us know that there are some bones of animals or whatever things they were before that are up to 1 million years, 500 years, 5,000 years, 2 million years old. So this earth, there was some form of existence on this earth before Satan was cast down here.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you. And Satan is the one that created the problem that made the earth to be without form. And we see it in the Bible. A call, Moses from Josh.
Okay. Shalom, Josh.
God bless you.
Yeah. I'm Ramon is calling from Josh. Yeah. So, sir, if about the warfare prayer, sir, that you just mentioned, all the things that you mentioned, everything that one man has to do, it should be all about a warfare prayer.
Sorry, I didn't hear that.
Does that mean that there will be no much time for the other prayers, like to pray in thanking God for some other things, or just a minor prayer?
Brother Moses, maybe you didn't hear me. I said warfare prayer is only in addition to other prayers you are praying. There are only two types of prayers anyway. There are three types of prayers anyway. The first prayer is thanksgiving prayer. The next prayer is to ask for what you want God to do for you. And then the third one is that what God wants to do for you must not be hindered. What he has done must not be hindered. That is warfare prayer. These three must be accompanied, you know, in your prayer every day.
Okay, that's three prayers.
Three prayers, of course. So you see, you can't say you pray for only 1 hour or 30 minutes and don't know what to pray again. Thanksgiving alone past 1 hour. Before you begin to tell him what your expectation is and remind him of his promises for you. Then you face this demon that has been delaying it from coming to pass. Then you face the problems that are around you. And you know who is the cause. They are demons. But before you finish, 2 hours, 3 hours, so don't go now. That is why we are unstoppable. God bless you. Yes?
Yeah, thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Go on.
Yeah. Pastor, my question is on the practicality of turning the other cheek. When you were preaching, you made mention of the activities of demon. When a believer is attacked, the Bible encouraged the believer to turn the other cheek. So my question is on the practicality of it. In our society, in the Christendom, there are a lot of things going on. There are a lot of professions that even believers take. And during your teaching, you made us understand that every act of violence, killings, wars are caused by the demon. So, where is the place of a Christian a believer in all these. We have professions that believers partake in that might necessitate a believer shedding blood when the need arises. Even in the church here, there are policemen at the gate. So if there is an attack, which can be likened to a strike on the cheek of believers, should the believers be left to turn the other cheek to be slapped more? Then, like in some places in the country, churches are being ransacked, burnt down. What should a believer do? Aside praying, what is the practical steps believers should take when they are striken?
There's nothing in the scripture that stops you from protecting yourself. And there are some protections that have to be done physically. One of it is when you sleep, despite all your prayers, make sure your door is locked. When you leave your house, despite your prayer, when you are leaving your house, make sure you lock your door. That you pray does not stop you from doing other things physically that can protect you. Now, we have the permissive will of God and the perfect will of God. Now, among the permissive will of God is that we must defend, countries must defend themselves. Nations must defend themselves. That's why we have security agencies to confront physical adversaries. There's nothing wrong by that a Christian is entering the police force, entering the military, and joining any of the security forces, armed forces. They are legalized. And I want you to note that God himself allowed that. Because he said there is no power there be, but that it is, you know, ordained by him. And he said we should be praying for our leaders. There is nothing wrong. Now, the only thing that will be wrong there is if you use that power against your enemy and shoot them, not for protection, not for a lawful duty, but you begin to use those guns and shed blood because somebody offends you, you go into your room, bring out your gun and shoot the person, that will not be allowed in Christianity. It must be lawful. So, nothing wrong with it. You should protect yourself. And if suddenly somebody enters this church, you enter the church with arms, you should be disarmed immediately. And if somebody hits you, even the law, and the person dies, even the law protects the person for self-defense. He did it, if they can prove it. Let's balance this and let's not be too legalistic about these things. You know, living a life with individuals in your society, with your neighbors, a life of hatred, a life of fighting, is what God does not want you to do. But talk of profession, you can as well say maybe a Christian should not be in the medical, maybe a Christian man should not be a gynecologist because he'll be opening up the private part of a woman as a gynecologist. But you know he's there to do a lawful duty. That action is not fornication, it's not lust. He is performing a professional duty. And no doctor will open that and even get lost because they have seen iri. The spirit in them, they don't do that. And it's against professional ethics if he goes beyond that. He will lose his certificate. They know that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, Pastor Lumida is giving me a scripture that will help you. Read it. Genesis chapter 9. Verse 5 and verse 6. Thank you, Pastor Olumide.
Genesis chapter 9, verse 5 and 6. And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man. At the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man.
Uh-huh.
Verse 6. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man.
So you must not deliberately go and kill somebody. If you do that, your blood will be required also by God. God bless you. Let me hear the musicians.
In the complendades ranging for the truth and for the right, when the conflict fierce is raging, we the powers of the night, God this war cast brave and true. May he then depend on me. May the Lord depend on me. Loyalty is more than steel. Say your spirit brave and true, that he may depend on me. May the Lord depend on me.
Depend on me,
the Lord.
promised to roam the Father's seasons. Angels help us to prevail, and our leader true is Jesus, and we shall not, cannot fail. Strike across the brave angel.
Hallelujah. I told you these things are mysterious. Like Apostle Paul would say, these things I tell you here, they are revelations I didn't read from any book. They are revelation God tells me by himself. And those who will obey, you will see victory. And there are things I have confirmed. There are things I even practice without even knowing the effect. And when I come and teach you, try to practice it. At least somebody now, you have positioned yourself for your own deliverance now. Yeah. Hallelujah. Death and life is in the power of your tongue, your mouth. Say something. Say it. Praise the Lord. Say something. Eh? Did I give you medicine to drink in the night? This is that. Eh? I'm surprised. I wanted to be sure whether you were the one standing.
I'm the one, sir.
Eh?
Yes, sir.
Very late in the night.
Yes, sir.
She called. For how long? Typhoid, malaria?
For 2 weeks now.
And she, when I called her back, I saw her text. It was a text she sent. And I called her back. She could hardly talk, and she was coughing, and she could not stop coughing. And I could hardly hear her. She was weak. That's last night.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Eh?
Yes, last night.
Did I take you to the hospital?
No, sir.
I spoke.
Yes, sir.
And you are here today standing. Yes, sir. Say something. Praise the Lord. I decreed. I say you will not wake up with that sickness.
Exactly.
And heaven backed it up. Say something. So also, if I speak to a demon, spiritual warfare, anything I say will happen, it must happen. Amen. And God has let us know that he has given us power to bind and to loose. When an angel will come and tie somebody, and I say, stand up, and he will stand up. Is he a demon that will hold somebody? And I will say, leave him, leave her, and he will still hold Who is stronger, an angel or a demon? Spiritual warfare. They that know their God, they will be strong. Praise the Lord. Anything I teach you, try and practice it. At least somebody here, this small prayer you pray, after 20 minutes, you don't know what to talk again. Now you have so much to talk. Until you never have enough time. Somebody here, you will never have enough time to finish your prayer in the name of Jesus. When you're inside motor, be praying. Say something. Don't talk. Say something. Or at least sing. If you don't know what to say again, sing. Inside toilet, those of you who normally stay in toilet for 1 hour, face by face, you house, they would abuse you. Somebody that abuse you. Make this man come out now. Within that 1 hour you are there, what are you doing there? Eh? Say something. Don't go with phone and sit down and be looking at Facebook. Say something. Praise the Lord. When nobody is at home, you are alone. Say, hooray! Oh yeah. Before they come, make I do something spiritual. And when you do that, then God will be directing you. He'll be directing you. When you finish that type of prayer in the night and you sleep, you must see something. You must see something. May your prayer life be revived in the name of Jesus Christ. When I told you the mystery of offering, some catch it, some don't catch it. But those who practice it, they are seeing the effect. I can't explain it, but I know there's a mystery there that it ignites something. It does. You know, all of a sudden, during the last week or so, I say, all of a sudden, it just came on me to bless a sister. And I was wondering, is she in need? Is anything wrong? Is this? And he will not let me rest until I gave her some money. I sent the money to her through somebody. And then she ran to my office, knelt down, and lied down there. Daddy, God will bless you. Go with this. I said, what's happening? He said, this money came just when I needed it. And down. Now, this is where the testimony is. She said a few days back that she saw a widow and something ministered to her. The only money she has, she should give the widow. And the little change she had, she called the widow and gave it to her. Said the widow said that somebody prophesied to her, someone that you didn't ask for assistance, so also will come to you and bless you as you have blessed me. So she said, amen. He said, Daddy, I didn't know it. The answer will come so soon. Mystery of offering. God wanted to bless her. All that she had, told her, give it to a widow. And she came and had so much more in return. Mystery of offering. Somebody, God just will just put somebody will not rest and just pick up your matter. It's not about you going to beg or beg anybody. No. Favor will come in a way that you will know this is God. By that offering. There is a mystery about offering, and I've given you several testimonies for it. And that's why I say, anytime he tells you to do anything, just do it. And when you do it, let it follow prayers. Can we stand up?